But we are going to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians again today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the middle of a very large section on spiritual gifts. And lots to talk about here. Last week we talked about unity in diversity. But this week we're going to talk about diversity in unity. How about that? And today specifically, we're going to focus on the idea that everyone who is a part of the church is necessary, is critical for that church. Okay? How many of you I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this question. How many of you think of yourselves as less than critical for the function of the church? And maybe you're thinking, I don't always do much, or I'm not really needed because there's always going to be someone to step up. Well, Paul's going to address that kind of a thought, that everybody is integral to the life of the church. It's kind of like Christmas lights. Not the new ones, but the old ones. All the old Christmas lights, they're wired in series. Thank you. Okay, now, I know there are some electronic people here, and I'm probably going to mess this up, so don't laugh at me too badly, right? But what happens, because when something is wired in series, and one thing in that series breaks, what happens, Randy? They all go out. And you can start wiring in all kinds of different things into a string of old Christmas lights. And as long as they're in series, when that thing breaks, the whole light goes out. The church can be kind of like that. If one person doesn't understand their place, it hurts the body. Let's read here, just to show you what Paul says. Verse 12 of chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a more excellent way. Kind of an interesting passage, isn't it? As we kind of look back at what Paul is talking about, at the people that Paul is talking to, he's talking to a church that's very competitive based on the way that their system is set up. They're their city system, their culture. Corinth was a town that was destroyed and rebuilt not very long before the birth of Christ. And it had grown tremendously because of its position, because of the trade that goes on there. And so it was a place where people could find a relatively easy ladder to climb. In other parts of the Roman Empire, you couldn't climb your ladder. You were just stuck at whatever station you were in. And so in Corinth, there developed a sense of competitiveness. But also in Corinth, because of the mixture of religions, because of the mixture of the pagan influence, it was also not necessarily the best place to live. It had a lot of bad things happening to it. And these things had come inside the church. And so the church is battling this worldliness that the people had brought in, this worldliness that was the culture was speaking. And so what Paul is writing against now is that the church had come along and they were dividing themselves based on a perceived hierarchy of spiritual gifts. You know, who's who in the church? If we had to start, you know, if there were a ranking, okay, in the Corinthian church, you know, people were fighting over who was going to be part of that elite group, the few. And that had carried over into their Lord's Supper, where they were separating themselves between those who had and those who had not. Those who were honored and those who were less honored. Those who were successful and those who were still probably in slavery. The church had become a place that resembled the culture. And so Paul is writing against their perceived hierarchy of spiritual gifts. He says, and he does this through describing the church as a body. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Here, Paul is describing the local church as a body. And it takes many different parts to make up a body, right? Okay? And so Paul is making an allusion, an illustration. So it's fun to talk about illustrations because we understand pictures. We understand what it's like when Paul says, you know, this will come up later, if you stub your pinky toe, you know, you don't think your pinky toe is that important, right? Not important to the function of the body too much. It helps a little bit with balance, but what happens when you stub your pinky toe? It hurts. It really hurts, right? It's an easy thing to break, even. And the rest of your body takes over and tries to take care of that pinky toe, right? Think about how much care you take when that thing happens. This type of thing wasn't happening in Corinth, right? The people who were at the top, they were leading everything at the exclusion to the other people. He says, for just as the body has one and has many members, just like we have eyes and ears and feet and everything else, he says, all the members are one body, all are one part. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. And when he says this, we're all part of the same body. We all do different things. We're all different in several ways, right? It's not our differences that separate us. It's our differences that bring us together. We're all baptized into one body. We're all, when you come to Christ, you believe Jesus is your Savior and what he did on the cross. You become a part of that body. We're all baptized into it. We all have the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit then comes into us and directs us and guides us and teaches us to live out our part in the body. The basis for what Paul is saying is because we have all been baptized into the same Spirit. The baptism of Jesus into the same body erases socioeconomic divisions. That's a big fancy word, isn't it? Socioeconomic divisions. What's a socio? If I were to ask you, what's a socioeconomic division? What would you say? Economic meaning money. Okay, right? Okay, socio. Social or status, or where you are in society. Okay, it erases those things. The most successful business person can operate within the body of the local church as the most unsuccessful person that's there. Right? On the same, they're the same work. They still have roles to accomplish. They're both are necessary to the body of Christ. The baptism of the Spirit also erases, I'm going to use the word nationality distinctions. Here he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Those types of divisions should not be among us. Our goal as a church is to be unified together in Christ for the love of each other. That is the basis of the metaphor of the body of Christ. And so as he goes on to talk about this, he says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, what would not make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. What's Paul saying? What's Paul dealing with? Paul is dealing with insecurities at this point. Insecurity in the role of the local church. Maybe you felt that. Have you ever felt like at a job, maybe you're brand new, got some people here today who have just got into a new job, you kind of don't know what's going on and you feel a little insecure sometimes? Anybody feel that? Sometimes you've been there for a long time, you still feel a little insecure, don't you? Same can be true of the church. I've talked to several people over the last several months about, you know, spiritual gifts. The conversation has come up, and some people say, I don't know my spiritual gift. That's okay. Or I don't know how to use my spiritual gift. That's okay. I think some of it comes out of an insecurity to what the spiritual gifts are all about. Paul says here, he says, well, you know, the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. What is he saying? Well, number one, the foot says, well, I'm not as important as a hand. So I'll just kind of sit back, just kind of sit in the background, and I'm just going to be here. Does that maybe describe you? Maybe does that describe some of the attitude that you come to the church with? Just, well, you know, I'm not that important. I don't teach a Sunday school. I don't lead a children's ministry. I'm just going to sit back. You know, those types of things can happen. It was happening in Corinth. Most of it was because of the hierarchy they had set up. They said, look, since those guys over there that are prophesying or speaking in tongues are so special, I'll just stay back. But the problem is, when you sit back like that, when you kind of allow yourself to just remain, what's the word I'm looking for? Inconspicuous. I'm not saying inconspicuous, but inactive almost. Passive. When you step back, and some people can do their own, exercise their own spiritual gifts behind closed doors, and they're kind of behind. That's where they want to be. They don't want to be up front or anything else like that. That's cool. What I'm saying is they kind of get back and they sit back and they just let everything else happen, and they don't have a chance to serve. They don't have a chance to work, or they don't have a chance to help or love on people. They're ineffective. That's bad. And as Paul writes here, you know, they're just saying, look, I'm not you, so I'm just going to come back and I'm going to fade back into the background. I'm just going to not do anything. Since I'm a foot and I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. Or the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong in the body. That what doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And then Paul says, he kind of adds on to that. He says, what if the body was just one single part? So let's just say everybody was an eye. How would it look like if you saw an eye rolling down the street? It's not normal, okay? Number one, there's no brain to control the eye. There's no blood to keep the eye alive. Every part is necessary. And if everybody has the same spiritual gift, it doesn't make a very good body, does it? That's why every person in the church is critical to the body. Absolutely critical. You may not have ever thought of yourself as critical to Grace Life. But trust me, you are. Because God has given you a role. God has given you a spot. God has given you a gift to serve, to follow Him with. What happens sometimes is this. Maybe you felt this before. I just don't feel connected. Have you ever felt that way? I don't feel connected to the church like I used to be. So I'm just going to slip back in the background. I'm not really important. I must not be. That's because we're not serving. It's we're not following up with what God wants us to do. Every part is absolutely necessary. It goes the other way. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So Paul addresses first the idea that, well, if I'm not that, I must be important, and I'm going to back off into the background. But he also addresses the people on the other side of this who say, look, I'm an eye. I'm an important part of the body. I'm a mouth. I don't have any need of feet or hands. And so some people were separating themselves based on their spiritual gift or the ranking. And they were saying, look, since you're just not special, so I don't have any need of you. I'm just going to go do this church thing by myself. Now, hopefully, none of us have that attitude. But sometimes it's easy. We all have in a church this size, we pretty much know everybody. But we have our own little group, so that we're a little more inclined to, right? And sometimes, whether we do it intentionally or whether it just kind of happens, we kind of look, you know, kind of start feeling important about ourselves and what we do. And Maybe we start feeling that way. You know, just some people, they're just unimportant. They just don't ever add anything to the church. And I can't believe that. So wrong of them. Ooh. Have you ever thought that? You get frustrated maybe because you don't see somebody serving? Paul's addressing us right here. Every part is necessary. And as he talks about this, the parts, he says, some parts, the weaker parts, he says, those are actually more honorable. We ought to bestow the greater honor to them. He says, think about, and he, kind of an awkward illustration here, he brings up the idea of private parts. Parts that we keep covered up, right? Those are the parts that we protect. We protect them from injury, and we protect them from being seen, right? We bestow on them a greater honor because they're weaker parts. Isn't that interesting? And he says the same thing is true in the church, in the body of Christ. There are quote-unquote weaker parts. I think he uses the word weaker to identify the people who are being pushed down and pushed away and cast off and relegated to the corner. And he says it's not that the people who have all the wonderful spiritual gifts are the best. It's not at all. And he says, in fact, these people who are more, don't require such modesty, they don't require such protection, they should be giving honor to the people who require that modesty and protection. They should be caring for those folks. They should be using their gifts for those folks, because guess what? If everybody starts speaking in tongues, does that build up the body? No, because nobody else knows what's going on. If everybody starts prophesying, is that going to build up the body? If everybody just has the gift of hospitality, who's going to lead? Everybody's gift. Everyone is necessary to the local church, vital to the local church. So, how about you? Have you thought about how you can serve? Have you thought about how God has placed you in the body? God has so composed the body, giving great honor to the part that lacked it, thereby that there, okay, when we look at the word that, that's a purpose, for the purpose that there is no division, or for, not division, that for the purpose, yeah, that no division in a body, but that members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. When you kick something with your pinky toe, all members suffer together. Right? I still have my appendix. If that were to go haywire, my whole member would suffer together, wouldn't it? Little things. How many of you love splinters? They're the worst, aren't they? Metal ones are worse. Okay. I don't know. I don't work around metal. I have worked around a lot of wood, but I don't work around. I'll run my hand down a 2x4 and catch one in the hand, and it's just a little itty-bitty thing, and it's not even in there that far. But guess what? I can't do anything else until I run and get something, a tool of tweezers or a knife or something to dig that thing out, right? You there with me? Amen. Steve. When one member suffers, the rest of us suffer together. What does that mean for us? I mean, practically. What does that mean for us? Feel free to answer before Eli does. It means that we should be involved with other people here at Grace Life to, if we can, alleviate their suffering. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, I want you to think about this a little bit. If one person is honored, all rejoice together. Now, in the outside, in the secular world, most often it happens this way, right? I'm going to work hard, get the boss to notice me, get my promotion, right? I am going to go and I'm going to rise higher and higher and higher and higher. That's some of the mentality sometimes. I'm going to get to the place where I want to be, both pay-wise and stress-wise. Right? I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring honor to myself. But the church is not that way. We don't work for ourselves at the church. We serve each other. So let's work for somebody else's success. Somebody needs our help. And we lift them up to a place of honor. Guess what? When that person reaches that goal, everybody rejoices with them. Now, let me ask you this. Those of you who've been around a church community before, and you've been into the secular world before, which would you rather live in? Which system? The one where everybody is helping each other to succeed, or the one where everybody is out for the number one? I know I'm painting things pretty black and white now. There's not always that way, but this is what was going on at Corinth. The point is that we need to serve. The point is that we need to lift each other up, to look for opportunities to use our gifts for one another. And then Paul gives us the last word. He says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles and second prophets and third teachers and then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administrative, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But he says this, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Now, wait a minute. Did Paul just turn 180 degrees on his illustration? Paul just listed, it seems like, a hierarchy of gifts, didn't he? What in the world is Paul doing? He says there are different gifts. First apostles, then prophets. And he starts ranking them, doesn't he? Is he saying these apostles and prophets are more important? Do you think? Maybe they're more prominent. They're the ones that show up more. They're the ones that work in a different way, that are more public or more upfront. It's not that the person who teaches everything is more important than the person who serves, who has gifts of mercy or gifts of hospitality. Both are vital to the church. Some are just a little more publicly prominent than others. Some people don't like the publicly prominent gifts. Some of us would hate hate teaching. And some of us are not very good at hospitality or mercy or being generous. But every person and their gift is vital to the church. And then Paul has the last word when he says this: I will show you a still more excellent way. Now, this is where we remember what Jesus said. When he was talking to the lawyer, and we bring this up all the time. When Jesus was talking to the lawyer, and the lawyer said, "What's the great commandment?" And the great commandment is to do what first? Love God first. And the second is like unto it, to love other people as yourself. So let's stop thinking about who is the most prominent, who is the most special, who is the most spiritual, and start what? Loving. If Christians would do those two things, Paul would have had no reason to write 1 Corinthians. If we would commit to loving each other, serving our neighbor, what would that look like? How would that affect Grace Life Church? And let me ask you a second question to wrap everything up. If we don't serve, if we don't love, if we don't fulfill the role that God's given us within the body of Christ, how are we diminishing the body? Have you ever seen somebody who's had an accident and they're missing something, like a hand or a foot? And we have all kinds of ways, technologies, awesomely, to help people out who are missing something. But if somebody's missing something, a finger, they miss out on some of the things that they can do. Some of the activities that they can be involved in. What is it like spiritually if we fail to fulfill the role that God has given us here? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. And so, 2 weeks ago, we preached, we talked about, we discussed the Lord's Supper and discussed things about the factions that were in the church. And I, you know, I hope and I pray that you've had a chance, an opportunity to talk with some people. About what the Lord's Supper is all about. The Lord's Supper is a spiritual experience for us as a church that expresses, number one, we all understand what Jesus did in giving his body and blood, right? That's one purpose for the Lord's Supper. Expressing the unity of the body. The second purpose of the Lord's Supper, I'm sorry, I just expressed it. The first one is remembering Jesus together. The second one is expressing the unity of the body of Christ. We are all in this life together. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have reason to be invested with these people you're partaking the Lord's Supper with. To be unified, to come together. And as a symbol of that commitment, this is what we do.